mental health is a disease of the mind, and physical health is a disease of the body. And I think the easier we are to reconcile the fact that there are some people, regardless of whether we want to say people have strong minds or weak minds, however we want to categorize that, or biologically, some people biologically, their bodies work differently, and so hence they have to use different strategies to manage your moods. It's all worth acknowledging. Not, oh, that person is moody, or that person is just miserable, or that person is manipulative, or that person is angry. I think, you know, the minute we start to pathologize and we name call in a way, we're kind of letting people own those names, and that's what they become. And they live with that shame. They live with that shame that something is wrong with me. I'm not normal. And we do a great injustice. We do a great injustice to people with mental health challenges when we minimize or we demoralize them in how we explain their behaviors. And so with all the explanation, I would always stress this one thing, that we need to acknowledge that mental health condition is a disease of the mind. And like cancer, like diabetes, you know, they are stages. And if you treat things in the early stages, for them to get stage 4 cancer, you know, if you're stage 1, it's easier to treat than when you get to different stages. It's the same thing with a mind disease, right? If it's treated earlier, the chances that it will become complex reduces. If it's not, interventions are not happened early, then the reality is that people live in that sphere for most of their lives. And understanding what people do, they observe what is normal behavior and how to interact and how to be a normal person, because they don't have those signals and how to be a normal, what constitutes a normal person. So when we talk of disease of the mind, there is a biological factor, absolutely. There is a mind factor, and there is a mind piece in terms of how the brain functions and where we receive messages in our brains, how we store them, how the bully part of our brain wants to bully us because it always wants to run us with toxic emotions. And once that become ingrained into like neuroplasticity talks about that, how our brain patterns start to form around the words and how that becomes a sum total of who we are. And so when you talk about positive thinking and somebody not being a Christian, positive regard, positive affirmation, positive asset search, having a healthy sense of self, all those things increases the power of the mind to compete the dark thoughts, to compete the thoughts that want to destroy you, to compete the thoughts that are complex and oftentimes wants to overwhelm. So there is a place, whether you're a Christian or not, you know, one of the things that is good to always do that I would say is to do a positive asset search. So, and, you know, and it's an honest positive. What am I good at? Who am I? Who do people think I am? And, you know, I even had, you know, I had some questions I said would have been good for that, for people to be able to kind of get a sense of who they are as a healthy person. What about gives me a positive sense of who I am? What facts describe me? I feel competent or in control when I have worth because. What about me gives me a positive sense of who I am? What facts describe me? I feel competent or in control when I have worth because. My basic values are, I have a positive sense of humanity and the meaning of life. I make the following appropriate demands on myself. These are questions that we need to ask ourselves when we are beating up on ourselves, because it's important for us to know that in God's eyes of who we are, but more so in our own eyes, how do we see ourselves? And so the more we are aware of who we are, we can counter the thoughts in our head about ourselves. But if we are not, if we have a wrong message, if we have taken in wrong messages through life experiences, and there's this internal conflict that's battling in our head, you know, when we talk even about bipolar to some extent, it's about that war that actually goes on in the brain and the chemical imbalance that is a result, because, you know, that agitation always raises your serotonin level and your cortisol level, and they're in an imbalanced state, which puts your whole body in an imbalanced state. And so the ability to think in a way that is constructive on oneself becomes a little bit challenging. And we need to build some positive regard. We need to have a fair understanding, not a narcissistic, not an arrogant, but a very thorough knowledge of ourselves and who we are. And so things don't shake us as easily. You know, things don't move us as easily. If you're a believer, I think, you know, the Bible talks about a piece of things that are positive, how to train our minds. Also, you know, we talk about putting on the helmet of salvation. And part of that is a covering of the head. The helmet of salvation is God helping us to manage our minds as well. So there is a component of that. And I know Christian clients that I've worked with, I've seen their rate of progress move faster than those who are non-Christians, because they've been able to leverage that knowledge to help them rebuild themselves about their identity. I think when person as an individual has reached a stage of where their inability to lead a normal life, whatever that feels like for them is normal, it's time that they kind of try to find some kind of medication that would help them, but not to be dependent and reliable on that, because they still need to address the core issue of what created that shift for them in the first place. And I'm speaking from my perspective, and maybe other professionals in my field will have a different take on it. I definitely know psychiatrists do have a different take on it. Some psychologists also do. But my take on it that has been, because I do work with family doctors, with clients as well, is based on the level of functioning and based on the level of regulation that's needed in their bodies around the biochemical imbalance that's taking care of happening in their bodies. So yes, people with thyroid issue, you know, suffer from depression and anxiety, and they never get diagnosed that they had thyroid. And then once they start to take medication for the thyroid, the depression subsides. Anybody who's on meds will tell you after a while they have to try a new cocktail because that one does not work anymore. And they have to keep trying new cocktail of drugs. And the damage it starts to do to the body sometimes can be irreparable, because then they start to do one drug to manage the impacts of another drug, or another drug to manage the impact of another drug. And you see, this is what I say about the mind. This is where I am a huge advocate for us to learn how our brain functions and to learn about our mind, because we can self-regulate. But if we are already in a panic and frenzy state, so say, for example, somebody is in stage 4 cancer or stage 3 cancer, you have to treat them differently than you're treating somebody who's coming in at stage 1. If somebody's coming in at stage 4 for treatment for a mental health, to kind of say, I can't put you on any meds at this point in time is more dangerous to that individual. They need to be stabilized to figure out then how they can work back to get where they need to go. But some people sometimes don't have the will to do that because life has been bad and they have had a lot of things happen and, you know, feel that it's such a difficult thing to do. Obviously, it's not easy. Like fighting any disease, it's not an easy thing. And fighting a disease of the mind is definitely not an easy thing. And you talk to anyone who's fighting a mind disease and who's living a mind disease and who have survived and have been victorious, so to speak, in moving past a mind disease, they will always talk about that horrible time in their life when they felt as if they were losing their mind. Because at that stage, it sort of have got exacerbated to a point of where you had to address the symptoms right away to calm and to kind of neutralize in a way so you can kind of address what really is the core issue. There are lots of ways that people can identify whether they have mental health problem. First of all, they're probably in a depressed mood a lot or in an anxious mood a lot. They're feeling life is not worth living. All or nothing thinking, overgeneralization, negative mental filter, discounting the positive, jumping to conclusions, catastrophizing or minimizing emotional reasoning, shit statements, labeling, personalization, blaming. I'm always a horrible person. I'm never going to get it all together. That is what we call the all or nothing thinking. Or somebody taking a single event and jumping to a sweeping conclusion. My best friend is mad at me. I'm sure she doesn't want to be friends anymore. And these are the statements when we can, in our heads, when these thoughts, these regular everyday thoughts become in our heads, thoughts that possess us, is an indication that something is going on in our mind that's not working. So say somebody was experiencing anxiety at a very young age. Sure, they weren't sure what it was, but you know, people observe, hey, as they got older, yeah, that child was always very quiet, or that child was always very robust. You know, other siblings were very outspoken, but that child was not outspoken. So then you start to pick up on a certain behaviors because they themselves know that something is wrong. And then as they get older, they're realizing that their brains are working differently, that they have to have certain patterns of handling life that doesn't seem like how everybody else is handling life. And remember, they don't want to talk about it too, because they are afraid that they would not be validated. They will not be seen in the way that they're feeling. And so they keep those things to themselves. But also, you know, because their brains are always overactive, like with anxiety, they also develop some health issues. They can develop different eating disorders. They can develop hypertension. They can develop heart disease, because all those have to relate to what's going on with the body, right? We call it sometimes people have trauma, and we see psychosomatic evidences of trauma in that, you know, they get physical illness that doctors cannot find what's the cause of the physical illness. They cannot find where the origins of this physical illness is coming from, but it's linked to some sort of history of something that has happened that they have not paid attention to or have forgotten because they were children. In our work, we see a lot of trauma. One of the things that is about, a lot of us carry trauma in our bodies, and the way we manage that trauma is also the way that impacts our mental health and well-being. And again, I want to say mental health is not a bad word. Mental health is, if we say physical health, just the same way we say mental health. So good mental health, good physical health is what we aim for. Good spiritual health is what we aim for. If people are emotionally healthy, their ability to be spiritually healthy would increase. Because you can't have a spiritually, emotionally unhealthy person and want them to be spiritually healthy, because they're not able to receive what they need to be spiritually healthy because they're emotionally broken. And they're operating at a level that they cannot take in what is being given to them to grow spiritually. So we see that one could be the evidence in a lack of spiritual growth. One could say maybe your churches are filled with people who are emotionally unhealthy. And people need to get emotionally healthy before they can really understand who God is to them and how God works for them. But people who have a hope of life beyond this, they don't go into that despair that easily, because that hope kind of buoys them to get where they need to go. We're going to see a spike in anxiety and a spike in depression all at the same time. And even when COVID-19, whenever it decides to not be around anymore, we're also going to have a lot of fallout from that, because social phobias are going to be on the increase. There are people who suffer from social phobias. All the OCD type behaviors are going to be intensified. We're going to have addictions, which is already on the increase, because it's the only coping mechanism people have readily available to them right now. I think, you know, as a world, we are sort of try bracing ourselves, because the reality is that there are going to be fallouts. Changes of itself always create fallouts. And the changes that are going to accompany COVID-19 that's happening right now is generating some of those intensified thoughts and dysfunctional thinking. And the end result is going to be that there's definitely going to be more complicated mental health thinking, more complicated mental health cases. You know, so for example, if you have a lack of food in a country, the physical outcome of that is starvation and malnutrition, right? COVID-19 is lending itself more to weak mental health. It's providing a context for people's mental health to start to deteriorate, because we don't have enough support to guide people through that process right now.